sing Psalm 111. Psalm 111. This is called the Hallelujah Psalm. And it's actually an alphabetical psalm. And it has come, we call it also, it has a twin psalm. And which follows Psalm 112. And beyond, all closely resembles it. Both are hallelujahs. Brother Rudy Smith is a hallelujah. Amen. I said it last night right on the telephone to him. He said, hey, brother, you're getting that right. So he went. Both consist of 21 lines arranged in 10 verses. And there is a complement to the other. And it sets forth the greatness and the greatness of mercy and the religious, the righteousness of God. I was listening to a preacher preach a while back, and he said, I was so tired. He said, I just didn't know which way to do, didn't know which way to go. He said, I'm just so tired. He said, been out preaching, and of course, Sunday morning and Sunday night, and boy, just a lot of things going on in my life. And he says, Mama's sick, and she's getting old, and didn't know, you know, just not sure what's going on in her life. And boy, he said, everything just keep tumbling down on me. And he said, I was going to sleep in Monday morning. Sometimes preachers do that. Thought I'd sleep in about 8:30, 9 o'clock. And all of a sudden, he says, about 8 o'clock, I heard some idiot outside my door banging on a hammer, just hammering something. And the saws were going buzzing. And he said, man, he said, I was so upset. He said, good night. I said, can't you let me sleep? And he said, I got up and looked out our little cottage door and realized that the church was building me a new house. And I forgot. He said, oh, he said, I got so under conviction. I was complaining about someone hammering and someone sawing, some of the guys hollering, the trucks backing up with that beep, 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 driving me crazy. And here he said, here my church was building us a new house right next to my little cottage. He said, I went to bed that day. I went back to bed, and he said, I fell asleep so happy hearing them hammer and the hearing. He said, it became sweetness. He says, you know, he said, that is the way it is sometimes in our life. Boy, we get so upset what things are going to happen and things happening in our lives, and boy, we get so tired, and the saws are whining away and the hammers are beating. And he said, we get so upset, and we forget that God is just building our lives. I think sometimes we get that way. Not sometimes, many times we get so upset about things happening in our lives and situations that really drag us down, it seems, and we get so tired of things, but we forget that Jesus Christ is working something very beautiful for us. And if we would just settle down and settle back and just trust God and realize God's providence is true, and He is a great God, He'll never hurt us. He may take us to places that we never were planning on going. He may show us some things we didn't think we'd want to see. But in all the outrun of all, God's got something really good for us. Amen. Amen. And as the old preacher said, he said, I was down in my bed and put my head on my pillow. And he said, oh, it was so sweet to hear the hammers pounding and the trucks backing up with the new material. He said, I had the best sweet sleep I ever had in my life. David wrote Psalm 111, and he had something. God had just got a hold of him, and he was just realizing how that we ought to be so happy in the things that happen to our life. There, it seems like it is intended to introduce this psalm, the Hallelujah Psalm, and you know, they used this psalm. The Jews used this many times after that. They introduced to the, it's called the Hall, H-A-L-L, or Hall, and then Hallel, or chant, or sung at the Passover, at Pentecost, at the Feast of the Tabernacles. And they would sing this song to remind them how good God is. And I think sometimes we just kind of get a little past some things and we forget that God is really good. And God is good to me. God is good to you. And sometimes we just get kind of a little tired. And sometimes people rub us the wrong way. Hey, man, hallelujah or whatever. And things go in our lives and we just say, well, that's not fair and all that. But you know what? If we really look down deep inside of us, we haven't been too fair to some others either. Amen or oh me. The wisdom of God, He talks about the work of God. Talks about the wisdom of man. He loves the Lord with all his heart, with all his soul, with all his mind. And what is happening before our eyes is a process of him merging his thoughts and thinking of all these things that God has done for him. And the psalmist who is under the Holy Spirit's power, he's starting to have a spell. He's starting to get excited. And you can, as you read that Psalm 111, you just see it. It just starts churning and churning, and it's getting gooder and gooder and gooder and gooder and gooder. You know? And it just comes to a volition that kind of shows off. Kind of like mama getting in the kitchen, you know, and taking that flour and add a little bit of water to it and add a little bit of this and that to it, and all of a sudden starts working that dough, called kneading that dough, and all of a sudden she puts it by the warm fire, and all of a sudden it starts raising it. She put that yeast in it, that smell just starts permeating the house. You're right now thinking of warm butter and jam and preserves. Ha! Some honey, and all of a sudden she puts it in that oven. And in 10 to 11 minutes, pulls out them golden brown buns. And you got to put your glasses on. Because you take a bite of that fresh bread with real butter.
Amen.
And jam. And you take a first bite, that tongue gets so wild. Hit looking for the next bite, comes slapping out, job, beat your eyeballs out trying to get the next bite, amen. This man is getting excited. God is really working in his heart and his life. And boy, I know sometimes you've done that. You've read your Bible and you just can't put it down because it just keeps getting gooder and gooder all the time. And man, I'll tell you what, God just works in his heart and his life. He takes a new look. He's looking newly. He's saying, I didn't see it that way before. He sees a fresh look at the Word of God and the works of God. And he never looked at God's works before that way. God got all over him and he gets revived and he is moved as never before. And he writes a song. He said, my friend, I'm getting close to God. And by the way, getting close to God always brings repentance. It always brings a new awe. It desires to serve him better. The psalmist sees the work of God. Look at verses 5, 6, and 9. It is so evident the psalmist is shaken and God's might and power. He mulls it over in his mind. He thinks of these special manifestations of God's divine power by which God's people were delivered and were preserved. There is no way that man could have walked all the way across that wilderness without someone preserving him. If you ever look at the climate of the wilderness, you know it can be up to 110, 120 degrees. Zero humidity. And God put that cloud above them and cooled them down. God knows what air conditioning is. Amen. And then at night, put the pillow of fire. You read the scripture, here comes Pharaoh's army after him. And God just shut the lights off on Pharaoh's army. It was just a cloud there they couldn't see. And they passed the post. They passed across that dry land of the sea. You know, you think of God's wonders and miracles. I was talking to a guy in the Air Force, and he gave me the details of Moses would have needed to pass into the desert. And it's called the logistical traveling of the desert. Moses and the people of Israel were in the desert, probably about 3 to 3.5 million people. That's a whole gob of people. And they're going to cross, and he said it have to feed these 3.5 million people a lot of food. Can you imagine the K rations they had to feed them? According to the United States Army Quartermaster General, he reported that Moses would have had to have 1,500 tons of food each day. 1,500 tons! That's a lot of food! To bring them food each day, they needed two freight trains, 1 mile long each. Besides, they must remember that they were out in the desert and they would have... Where do you find firewood in the desert, amen? To kick the food, they had to have 4,000 tons of wood for a few more freight trains, each a mile long, just for one day. You all know there weren't freight trains back in those days, right? I thought I'd help you out there. Oh, by the way, this happened for 40 years. 40 years. And yes, we need to be hydrated. If they only drank a little bit and washed a few dishes, the quartermaster said it had taken them 11 million gallons each day. And the freight train with tank cars would have been 1,800 miles long just to bring water. And then another thing. They had to get across the Red Sea at night. And if they went on a narrow path, double file, the line would have been 800 miles long and required 35 days a night to get through. So there had to be quite a space in the Red Sea, 3 miles wide, 5,000 abreast to get over in one night. That's huge. But there's another problem. Each time they camped, at the end of the day, they camped down two-thirds of the size of the state of Rhode Island, required a total of 750 square miles. Just to camp at. Think of it. That much space just for a night camping. Isn't our Heavenly Father a wonderful, miracle-working God?
Amen.
You know, we take so much for granted. We take our Bible, we read about the Exodus, and we read how they went from this place to the next, and we really don't get it, do we? Now let's look at the psalmist has to say about the wonderful verse. First of all, the psalmist gave four divine attributes of God's work. He talks about the broad field of nature. He praises God for the creation. I don't know about you, but I am amazed every time I walk out of the door here in Montana and see those magnificent mountains. I was down at camp this year, and I was looking, and I saw one kid trying to pick up this rock. It was about this big, and about 12, 18 inches wide, and about the same way. And he's picking it up, and he could hardly pick the thing up. And just underneath him is this great big Storm Castle Reef. And I was thinking, man, if that little rock weighed that much, and that little guy couldn't even pick it up, can you imagine how much Storm Castle Reef must weigh? To me, that's incredible. The other day, I was looking, and I saw these little flowers. You know, it froze off a little day a while back, and I saw these little flowers just sticking up there. Hello! I'm still here. It's amazing the creation that God has made for us. And of course of our bodies that God has made and the thousands of cells that make up. And it's amazing what God has made of us, isn't it?
Amen.
Isn't it a miracle? Isn't it a miracle that you have a nose that can smell? Some of us have bigger noses than others. That's why I must smell so well. But it's amazing. And our eyes... I was doing some camera work a while back, and I tried to take a picture, and it wouldn't focus very fast. And I thought, boy, my eyes, I just turn there, and it's focusing. I'm focusing infinity, focus back here 18 inches. This is an amazing thing, isn't it? Huh? It's a terrible thing when they don't work. Boy, it's amazing how many do, amen? Finger your hands. I'm amazed at my hands. That middle finger is always the tallest. Most people, unless you got yours cut off, amen. And you just put it down like this and punch your sister. They all go straight. You know, they don't. So you don't hurt, jam your middle finger, amen. Or your brother. It's amazing how God's made us. He's praising God for that. He praises God for the creation and the foundation of the earth and the heavens. He praises God for the sun and the moon. He praises God for the light and the heat. The other day I stepped out of my car out at Chatham Marshes. It was dark. And there a great big old Big Dipper was there. I just, whoa. It's like panoramic. Here it is. Stars all over. Saw the Milky Way and the Spiral Nebula, that Milky Way. Just an amazing thing. And all the stars and the bright stars and the teeny little stars and the flickering stars and that little star that's a little red. And it's amazing. Wake up in the morning, or in the morning, there it is. The morning star, Venus. Venus star. No, but anyway. You see these stars, and they're incredible. And they got that Hubble telescope out and shot her up there, got as far as it could get, you know. And they started sending back pictures, and they said that, you remember the dark hole? Remember the dark hole we used to study? There was a vacuum hole. There was no stars. There are so many more constellations in there they can't understand how in the world's the most amazing thing. And to think that God said, let us make man in our image.
Amen.
It's incredible how he did that. I sure seem puny after I look at the stars. But he loves me. He answers my prayers. He answers your prayers. Amazing. The psalmist got so excited. He's praising God. He's praising God for the rain. He's praising God for the dew. He's praising God for all the things that God does for us. Secondly, the spiritual nature of man. He talks about his instincts and his aspirations, his affections, his capability of man. Oh my, the capacities we have. Isn't it amazing we can think? You know, how many got a cell phone? Hold it up. Hold your cell phone up. Now look at it. First of all, see if it's on buzz or tickle, okay? That's kind of embarrassing if it goes off, right, Diana? But anyway, this morning Sunday school, hers went off. She's all upset. It don't bother me. It just embarrasses you. It don't bother me any. Because mine's went off. Places I thought should not go. But anyway, that little cell phone you've got there, or some of you've got these, yeah, mine's a droid, and do you know that has more information than the computers had when they put the first moon up in orbit? I forget, somebody told me how many times more information this thing can process than all those computers did when the 1969 when they put the first orbiter up on the moon. Most amazing thing. Isn't it amazing that God just keeps allowing people to have that wisdom to build this stuff? I don't know. I'm speaking. This is what I'm preaching from today, and it works. It really works. I don't even hardly use paper anymore. I'm green. But it's amazing how what God is, the capacity God has given to us. Aren't you glad about that? Aren't you glad you get in your car? I saw a car the other day. You don't even need a key anymore. You just push a button, it starts. That's incredible. How many's got one of those? Wow! That's cool. I'm looking around how to start the thing. You just push the button. Get in there. And then things start talking to you. Your door's ajar. I said, no, the door's a door. It's not a jar. We put pickles in jars. But anyway, sorry. He praises God for the individual life and human history. In the redemption world of Jesus Christ, everywhere in his height and his depth around us and within us, all along the course of human history, we see the handiwork of God, and most and the best of all, the redeeming death of his Son our Savior, in the life-giving energy of the renewing Spirit, to think that God loves me. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Isn't that the most credible thing? Isn't the most credible thing that Jesus loves you? Unfortunately, you know you. And you know what a rascal you are sometimes. Hello, amen, hallelujah, and all that other stuff, amen. You know who you are. You know what you think. You know what you believe. You know what you do. You know what you don't do. And deep down inside, you say, deep down inside of you, you say, you know, I'm not a very good person. That's why God said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. The good that we do is like filthy rags, the Bible says. But thanks be to God. Thanks be to God who's given us life everlasting to those who trust Him as our Savior, who those ask God to forgive us. I love that scripture from 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, cleanse from all unrighteousness. Tonight before, this morning before services, Brother Jim Holloman and I were up in my office and praying, and Brother Jim was praying. He said something like this. He said, thank you, God, for forgiving and then forgetting my sins. That's a great truth. Thank God He takes my sins, casts them in the deepest sea, never to remember them again. Isn't that a wonderful promise? Amen. Well, the psalmist gives four divine attributes of God. Then the psalmist gives here four divine attributes of God's nature. He works. His work is honorable. Look at here in verse 3. His work is honorable. It's glorious. Speaks of His divine power in verse 6. And in this sense, is saying God's work are great. Immeasurable, suppressing our puny efforts. What are we here for? To glorify our Heavenly Father, right? We're not here. It's not about me, it's about Him. It's all about Him. And when you lock into that, or when you hook up to that, and you realize that God loves us no matter what. If He could take a man whose name was Saul, who turned his name to Paul, who was even killing and destroying the Christians, the new Christians of the age of the first century, and God forgave him, He'll forgive you. His divine wisdom is wonderful. Verse 4, the keeping of the planets in their orbits. I don't know about you, but that's a pretty big deal, amen. I'm glad they all stay up there. I'd just rather not have one of them babies burning down here at me, amen. The covering of the earth with fertile soil, the life of growth of trees and flowers and fruit, the organization of the animals. Aren't you hunters happy about that, amen? They just keep getting replaced, amen. The expansion of the human mind, the fitness of the gospel for the large and deep necessities of the human soul. What depths of divine wisdoms are here for us to think that what God does for us. His divine faithfulness to all in all. His promises never fail. The sun will keep burning whether whoever tells you it's going to quit burning is going to keep burning. God promises that. God said everything is going to go as He planned until it's time for Him to take care of it. Amen. And I don't care. You can save all the oil you want. You can save all the paper, the wood you want. You can save it all. But I'm going to tell you something. God said, I'm going to take care of it for you. Aren't you glad about that? We shouldn't fret about what's going on in this world. I think we ought to be concerned. I think we ought to trust God in things. I think we ought to be good conservators of it. Amen. Years ago, the Chinese, they were eating all the big potatoes and leaving, and they take the little potatoes and plant them. And after all, the horticulturists said, "Wait a minute, we've got a problem here. We're not producing great potatoes anymore. We're just producing little ones." And what they'd done is they'd kept eating the big ones and seeding back with the little ones. I think a man ought to be a good conservator of that, amen? We ought to take care of our wildlife. We ought to take care of our streams and take care of the things. I think we ought to do that. I don't think we ought to pollute. I don't think a guy ought to do that. But a good night, I think we ought to use what God gives us, though. Amen? And we ought to be careful about that. And God made this for us, and He said we're to praise His name for it. Amen? He gives us food to eat. As you can tell, I'm enjoying that. He gives us water to drink. He said, in the water to drink in the wilderness. Amazing thing what God did with the children of Israel. He had not allowed the seed time and harvest to fail. He adds all the needful things to those that seek first His kingdom. He is with us in deep water of affliction and does not allow them to overflow us. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He said, I'll never put a temptation that you cannot withstand, or I'll provide a way of an escape. He said, I promise you that. And the heartaches and troubles that you're going through, God said, I want you to know I'm standing by your side. He said, I will not let something destroy you. You remember when Brother Rudy preached about the roundabout way? And you remember when God said, I didn't take them straight into the Philistines because I knew what they'd do to them? They weren't ready for it. They weren't ready to battle. And God is not going to put, listen to me, God is not going to put you through something that you cannot withstand, or if He does, He'll provide a way of escape. I don't know about you, that's certainly a blessing to me. Sometimes I wonder and I think, and sometimes I question, and immediately when I start questioning, I say, dear God, I'm sorry, I should never question what You're doing and putting me through this thing. I ain't going to question You. I'm not going to bring an accusation to God that's not founded. I'm old enough to know that God has never failed me before, and His promise says, I will never fail you. Amen. Though He puts us through some things that are pretty tight. I mean, so tight that we get some blisters, amen. But He always comes through and always gives us things that reminds us of His love and His care for us. When you get to the point in your life and you don't believe that, you become an atheist. And you're saying, my God's not a big God. My God can't have it. I thought the Bible said there's nothing impossible for God.
Amen.
You say, but Pastor, you just don't understand. No, I don't understand. That's why I have a God that understands it all. All I'm supposed to do is follow. All I'm supposed to do when He brings me food to swallow. Amen. That's it. I'm supposed to do what God wants me to do and be happy of doing what He wants me to do and happy the circumstances that I'm going through and knowing that one thing, that God has not forgotten me and God, that's what He's saying here. That's what the psalmist said. Hey, I just want to glorify. I just want to tell you something here. Hey, listen, I just want to let you know that I have not forgot you and I'm going to take care of it. Hey, you remember the children of Israel and they were coming through and they were griping about there's no water or food? Remember that? Yes, they were. God just had to get them to the point so they get to trust Him more. Sometimes I don't see two doors open in front of me. I only see one door. Same with you. You don't understand the things going on in your life, do you? How many understands everything going on in your life? There's not a hand written here. You can't understand what's going on. Why do I hurt my leg? Why do I stumble? Why did I break that? Why did I do this? Why did I do that? How come that broke? How come that doesn't work anymore? How come that? Hey, a couple years ago. Oh, man, good night, 20-something years ago. My wife and I, I was out on base, and I was teaching a Bible study in one of the guys' room. And about 8 or 9 guys came over, and we had a good Bible study. We were just having a good time. My wife was out with some other ladies and the kids, and they were doing it. And I picked them up, and we're coming home. Someone had busted our back window out. kicked the door in, stole all my guns, tore the house apart. But Lord, I'm trying to do something for you. My wife and kids, I remember, they were over at Pat Sasser's cleaning up their house because they were moving to another house on base, and you know how you have to have it so clean. My family's over there doing that. Were they doing things bad? I was having a Bible study. 8 guys led some boys to the Lord over on the base. Was I doing things bad? No. I come home. Did somebody do something bad in my house? Yes. And I could have said, that's not fair. God don't know what he's doing? Yeah, I knew what he was doing. Some of you hunters understand. I had a few guns, but I didn't have what? Some nice guns. And replacing them, I got nice guns. Better guns. Taught us some things and taught me some things when a person gets their house broken in. It's like something you get violated. Somebody comes into your house, takes things, goes through your stuff. I had a very special ring that I'd got. It was a turquoise ring and had silver right in the turquoise. I'm still looking for that. It's given to me. But you know what? I had 357. It was loaded in my holster. And the holster is laying on the dining room table. I'm glad we came back late. You don't know, do you? Do you know? We don't know that. This man says, I'll tell you what. God, the divine God, takes care of his divine goodness as the Father. God has so orderly our human life that as a father's kindness and motherly tenderness and friendly affections and dutiful attractions and charitable piety and the generous Christian's compassion enwrap our souls and shed his radiant on the life, and surely these are the least of his works. All these things God does. Does God love you? Yes, he says, man, he says, he treats me like a father. He loves me like a mother. He loves me as a friend, as affection. And he takes care of me. He said, man, what more can you praise God for? It didn't get any better than that, amen. And he said, I just want you to know that he's still on the throne and he's still there. And he's still watching. Father in heaven, I thank you for today. I thank you, Lord Jesus, how that you love us and how that you care for us. And how that you supply our needs and answer our prayers. And Lord, as we look back at the history in the history book of the Bible, and we see all the things that God had did for others, we are reminded in our own life what you've done for us. I pray, Heavenly Father, today that you would help us to realize that you are a great God. Lord, our feeble minds, our untrained tongue cannot even express who you really are. But Lord, we're going to try. And we're going to try to give you glory and honor. Lord, if there'd be anyone here today not sure they're saved, not sure they have a home in heaven, that today would be that day. Today would be that day that they said, Lord Jesus, I accept you as my Savior today. I ask you to forgive me of all my sins, and I ask you to come into my heart and be my Savior. And when I die, I know I'll go to heaven because you promised in the Bible. Lord, I pray you'd speak to our hearts today. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You're here today and you say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure that I'm on my way to heaven. And I'd sure like to know that today. Right there where you're sitting, you can bow your head and say, dear God, I know I'm a sinner. Forgive all sins. Come into my heart and save me right now. That's all you have to pray. Just pray and say, Dear God, I know I'm a sinner. Forgive me my sins and come into my heart. Be my Savior today. I accept you as my Savior. I believe you died on a cross and rose on the third day. That's pretty simple, isn't it? You know why he made it simple? For little children. And for the old folk. But we who are adults, we can just fall right in there. We can ask him as our Savior. Maybe you're here today and say, Preacher, I'm like the old preacher that's tired. Tired of all the fighting. Tired of all the noise. And preacher, things are going around and I just need some sleep. I just need some rest. And I haven't got up out of bed and throw the sash back and realize all the time, God was building me something greater. And today, I'm going to ask Jesus to forgive me. And I'm going to ask Jesus to help me to trust in Him. Father, I pray you'd be with us now at the invitation in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm going to ask everyone to stand. Everyone standing, you're here today and you say, Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. I'm not sure if I died today I'd go to heaven, but boy, I'd sure like to know that. Why don't you just step out of that seat, walk down this line. Let me show you from the Word of God how you can know for sure if you die today, you go to heaven. What a wonderful thing. What a wonderful promise to know that you're on your way to heaven. Let me ask you this. Are you saved? Are you sure you're saved today? Are you 100% sure of it? Someone came up to ask you and say, Sir, can I ask you a personal question? If you died today, would you go to heaven or you got a doubt? What kind of have a doubt? Hey, take care of that. Take care of that doubt today. Just say, you know what? I want Jesus as my Savior. You're here today and say, Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. Why don't you come right now? Let me show you from God's Word. You're here today and say, Preacher, I've been saved, but I have not followed the Lord Jesus Christ in believer's baptism that's down in the water, up out of the water, illustrating the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I have not done that. Why don't you come at this time? Your name say, Preacher, we want to become members of the church. This is where we want to serve God at. Why don't you come at this time? Why don't you come today? Maybe you're here today and you're like that old preacher. He's tired. All the noise in the world is going around him. He finally gets up and throws back this sash of the window and he says, I forgot that my people were taking so good care of me, building us a new house for me and Mama. Oh, maybe there's some times in your life you just say, man, I'm tired of this hammering and the whine of that soul. I'm just tired of all the things that's going on in my life. Can't take it no more. Then you wake up and throw back the sash and say, you know what? He's doing it all the time. That's all for me. I would never be the person I could be today if it wasn't God working on me. Oh, thank you, Jesus. And you're at peace with the Maker again. You're today and say, Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. Why don't you come? You're today and say, Preacher, I need to follow Lord and believer's baptism. You come now. You're today and say, Preacher, we want to become members of the church. Why don't you come now? I'm going to ask Brother Simeon and Ghost, if you'd come and close in prayer, please. Good to have you home, buddy.